Hey, you guys, welcome back. This is Conversations with Dr. Gabriel Cousins, Conversations with Gabriel, and he has suggested that today we look at the overview of a world situation, what needs to be improved, and how it could be addressed so that we continue the rest of the way in the trajectory that's going to help our leaders towards the abyss. Which is approaching very quickly. It needs to be reversed. And Dr. Cousins is going to give us his insight about how that could still be done. And it's not too late for it to happen. So welcome back, Dr. Cousins, and thanks for being with us. It's going to be an interesting hour.
Richard, I'm always happy to be on Conversations with Gabriel because we all get to talk a little bit. So it's good. And I always like talking to you. So good. What we usually do is start with a little dance to kind of get us connected to the spiritual joy so we can talk in it. You know, our work is helping us return to the eternal perspective, okay? Which we kind of have to end the trance and a break out of the trance that we're in. And I think that's a kind of what we have to think about. It's a trance that people have been put in. How do we break out of it? Well, first of all, we have to get in touch with our truth, not the media's truth or all the propaganda. People have been very, very heavily propagandized. So first thing is I'm going to start with a prayer. That merges the heart and the mind. Lishimiku Kurushabri Hu Ushinate Bi Il or Imulaya Shemuki Bavke Bi Udashwam Mashemko's Real Kolam Amen. So feel that merging with the heart and mind. Yeah. Good. Okay. Now we start with a little dance to get the spiritual joy going, which helps us break out of the trance as well. And we do two things. If you know how to meditate, just fine. But we're going to dance and meditate for a minute or two. And the meditation, I suggest is what's come to me at the 21st day of a water fast. And it's yoda and in-breath, hey, and out-breath. Wa and in-breath, hey, and out-breath. Yoda from the base to the heart, hey, out to the heart. Wa from the base to the third eye, and then hey, out to the heart. And you just keep repeating that until your mind's quiet. And after I finish dancing, then we'll do the other thing, which is the transmission of energy, soul to soul. That's what's needed in this world, is we really need to reconnect with our souls, the bigger soul, and know our oneness with each other. Okay, we're just going to dance for 3 minutes. Here we go. Feel this. Okay. We just need a minute in meditation. I'm just going to focus on my eyes for a second. Let this energy come through. Now into meditation. Slowly come out of meditation. Okay. So I'm just going to start with a little bit of an overview. Most everybody is aware that the Western nations are going downhill morally, actually physically too. But let's take a look at a little bit more in details. So usually nations last for like 240 years, talking about U.S. U.S. is kind of past that time. And we're getting kind of this process of acceleration. And part of the bad news is that really in Torah prophecy that there is no America that we're talking about, which is kind of a concern, but it doesn't mean that everyone can't sail through this in a good way. It doesn't mean that. What it means is the force, some people may call it fascist forces in America, may not be dominant like they are. England was the world empire, and then it is what it is now, which is not a world empire. And that also happened with Spain. So I want to just hold it in perspective, but we are pushing the limit. you know, the debt ratio. When Barack Obama started, it was 10.6 trillion. And now it's at least 20 trillion. Some people say it's 30 trillion, which is enormous. Okay, as long as they keep printing money, you can't be surprised that there's going to be, that there is an inflation. It's like, yeah, that's pretty clear that we're in inflation. It's going to get worse because that's their only answer to it. Okay? And in essence, we are stealing money from our children at about $100 million an hour. Let me repeat that. $100 million an hour? That's what's going on. We're wasting it here. We're wasting it there. You know, the U.S. Army basically is spending millions of dollars in Viagra. It's like, well, what's going on? This is what the Army is supposed to be doing. Okay. In the U.S., in 1956, approximately 5% of the babies were born to unmarried mothers. 5%. So in 2008, okay, 50 years later, what we're looking at is 40% of all the babies are from unmarried mothers. So that's an eightfold increase. So what is that a sign? It's a sign of the social structure's decay. It didn't start last week. Okay, we're looking over the last 50 years. And we're looking at social decay considerably. The middle class is folding. In the 70s, about 60% of Americans were middle class. Now it's dipping below 50%. Now, I'm not supporting materialism, but it does mean that it's getting harder and harder for people to get by. In 2001, 16 million Americans couldn't afford homes. Now it's like 32 million. So we're sinking, even though it's more, you know. Public education, and they took a look at that in 22 major industrialized nations, the U.S., that only two countries were worse in literacy, and in math, the U.S. was the rock bottom. So are we saying there's a problem with education? You bet we're saying there's a problem with public education. And, you know, we can talk about shootings in the schools. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying the U.S. public education is at rock bottom compared to other countries. We think we're so good, but we really aren't. And so there's a huge rate of people going into private schools or homeschooling. It's actually, there's no excuse for it. And then we have the teachers becoming more and more associated with asking parents, asking them not to tell their parents about how they're grooming their students. I mean, this is unbelievable. So we've got a situation where the schools are like a satanic soup. It's like, it's just shocking. But then you look at the results, okay, last in math and second to last in literacy. It's like, wow, that's really sad. And, of course, they're even refusing, the Biden administration is refusing to have proper security in schools. When there was a shooting in Russia, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, every school had security systems put in, meaning guns and teachers it was in a pretty flash time, they would have access to guns. They wouldn't be carrying the guns, but they would unlock whatever, a system, and have access if there was a threat to the school. And guess what? There weren't any more shootings. The shootings don't come from, the gun doesn't do it. It's the people who hold it. If they're not doing shootings, they're doing stabbings. And that's going on all over the world. People get more and more disturbed. They're acting out the disturbed emotions. Chicago, which has... I used to work with gangs in the south side of Chicago. They have strict gun control, but they have the highest amount, pretty much the highest amount of shootings of any city. And it isn't about gun control, because if you already have a gun control city and you have so many high shootings and murders, like I don't know how many over the weekend, maybe 60. I don't know exactly the statistics, but I do know when I worked with street kids gangs in Chicago in the 60s, nobody got killed for the 2 years I was working with them. I'd go in at night and work, and then the day I left, 8 people got killed. That wasn't an accident. It's like when you give people hope, then good things begin to happen. When there's no hope, then things go downhill. And I think that's the important thing to understand as we're looking at now in Chicago, which that wasn't the case then, but there's 150,000 gang members living in Chicago. They outnumber the police by 10 to 1. So, it's really out of hand, but what I'm saying is guns are already outlawed. That was not clearly not the problem, because anybody can get guns. Okay? The problem is the social chaos and the sense of hopelessness. I'm talking about South Side of Chicago. If you don't know what that is, that is at least where I was, 3800 South, totally black area. And people felt hopeless. People, the kids in the gang, they didn't see themselves living past their mid-20s. So there's just silent desperation. Well, that's a different kind of issue. And just me working with them, going down at night and working with them and doing different things, nobody gets killed for 2 years. That's an anomaly, but it isn't really. We created a community garden. We did a lot of street education, so to speak. And the result was very, very positive. In fact, at one time, it wasn't a gang member. Somebody's going to shoot somebody, and the crowd gathered. And then a bus came through and hit a little kid. And then suddenly we have literally thousands of people on the street. Well, I happened to be there that evening. And I told the gamers, let's take care of this. They took care of it. The police came, they just stood to the side, which was very smart. And we calmed the crowds, we got people to go home. Why? Well, they were doing something meaningful. They were doing something productive, and it was building their self-esteem. It's like, this is pretty straightforward. So these problems can be addressed, but they can't be addressed by pouring just money into something. You have to do things that make people feel worthwhile and good about themselves. I would also say socially productive. Like, the kids cared. They may not honestly felt that they were going to survive, for the next 3 or 4 years, but they cared. There's a story in Chicago growing up in Chicago. I was a 17-year-old boy, and his vision was that he would make it somehow to the age of 21 before getting killed. And yet, this is like 2 weeks ago. So that didn't change in the last 50 years. Or, 60 years. But he insisted on going downtown where things were. And his mother said, "I just have a bad feeling about this. Please, please don't go." But he went anyway, and he got shot, and he got killed. A fight broke out, and somebody pulled a gun and they shot him. And five times in the chest. Okay, so it wasn't a good scene, but it was a dramatic story because the mother knew intuitively this isn't going to work out. So he didn't make it to 21. He didn't make it, 17. And that's kind of what life is like. Now, when you give people hope, I mean, not having anyone killed in the region we were working with for 2 years is, I would say, kind of a really strong message of how this can be handled. Giving people hope, self-esteem, helping them become productive and honored. It works. It works. So that's what we're talking about. So Chicago, 150 gang members now. I mean, the Blackstone Rangers was maybe 150,000. Blackstone Rangers was the biggest gang at that time. There were like 600 members, and our group was 300 members. And it's like, but 150,000? Okay, so I'm just making a point, though. Life, when you make life meaningful, it tends to work. Because that's what people need, hope and meaning in life. So I don't even know where to begin with the public education system because it's been so corrupted, and the teachers, unfortunately, are too corrupted, and they're trying to, again, groom the children. And it's like, what is going on? So. And struggles where they're trying to keep the parents from having any say over the school boards. And so the states are waking up. They are waking up. And that's really a good thing. In the early 70s, 70% of men between the ages of 20 and 39, okay, are married. We're married, Now it's just 35%. Like, that's half. And so most of the young men, 35% of the young men ages 21 to 30 are still living at home with their parents. That's not healthy. There's no way we can call that. Men and women need to be out on their independent own, okay? And along the line, the U.S. has the biggest, highest rate of illegal drug use in the world. That's quite a statement. And again, when you go about it, these things you can deal with, but not in a corrupt, moralist society that doesn't give people any hope. You're not going to be able to deal with it. The Mayo Clinic is saying that 70% of all Americans are at least on one drug, and 20% are on five prescription drugs. Now, I'm a holistic physician. I don't really see a whole lot of people with more than one drug or two. With our fasting, we help people come off these drugs and get free of them and actually rebuild their systems. But you gotta love yourself enough to want to heal yourself, and that's the key ingredient in the picture. Okay. Now, about 110 million Americans have sexually transmitted diseases, and they're getting about 20 million new STD, sexually transmitted diseases, per year, increasing. There's over 4 million adult pornography websites. 4 million? And they get more traffic than Netflix, Amazon, and Twitter combined. Now, if you study the effect of pornography, people really do get addicted to it. That's one. But two, which is really amazing, is they have accelerated brain degeneration. So generally, the brain, for most people, decreases about 1% a year. And we know if you're meditating, you actually build the brain. You build the hippocampal area, which is memory and kind of judgment, frontal lobes, which is judgment, parietal lobes, and the areas that are shrink a little bit are the amygdala area, which has to do with anger and other different harsh emotions. So we know even with meditation, we can actually build the brain. Harvard showed that. Literally can build the brain and reverse that 1% degeneration. Obviously, the diet helps too. So, but pornography literally has been shown to accelerate the rate of brain degeneration. And it is truly addictive. And so we're talking a lot of people being addictive. I don't have the numbers for that, but it's all part of the moral degeneration that's going on. 64% of Christian men view pornography about once a month, but another survey says about 68% of Christian men in America view the pornography on a regular basis. So that's a pretty big statement, and the Christian world has more moral strength than just the average, or at least it's not perfect, obviously. But I think the study picked a group that was more likely, less likely to be focusing on pornography. So when you look at 68% view pornography regularly, that's huge, huge statement. Okay. It wasn't 10 million on Viagra, the U.S. Army. It's 42 million they spent on Viagra each year. It's like, okay. That tells you one. That's not probably the best use of U.S. taxpayer money, but something more is that the men aren't very healthy. That's more important. There is a lot of depression, and doctors on a yearly basis put up about 250 million prescriptions for antidepressants. And I try to help people get off them because we can rebuild the brain. That is something we can do. It's orthomolecular psychiatry. I've been doing it for years, and it works. And it rebalances all the neurotransmitters. The antidepressants, for most people, stop working after 6 weeks, if they work at all. And they are associated with increased tendency for suicide and violence, homicide. So, not a good thing, but we are looking again about the main depression is a major part of it. So you're getting a feeling for the shift in the overall consciousness in America. So the question is, what do we do? What's to be done? Well, my experience with street gangs, I mean, I have more experience than that. I'm a family therapist, a psychiatrist, a holistic physician, spiritual teacher, okay. You know, but I like to be simple here. Okay. And what we did in Chicago with street gangs is we began dealing with the aspects of life. I would, each time I would come, which is maybe 3 times a week, You know, we do our basketball at night, the headlights of the, it was called the Abraham Lincoln Center, 3800 South. And, you know, we play basketball and do that. And then I would play them tapes. At that point, there weren't, we had little tapes. That's how long ago it was, of Malcolm X, and then discuss his teaching because he understood and gave people hope. And it worked. It worked. Okay. And so that was, I think, an important thing. And, you know, we allow darkness to exist if we don't bring light into the world. And that little bit of light, that's the kind of thing that I'm trying to emphasize, that little bit of light, just one guy going down with the gangs, you know, we planted a community garden and they listen to Malcolm X and do basketball, but nobody's killed for 2 years. And you can just look at what's going on in Chicago. 60 people are shot over Memorial Day weekend. It's like, we can make a difference is what I'm saying. You know, we have to, you know, connect to God, connect to each other, and understand we're all on the same side. Christian, we're all on the same side. And even at that time with the police, they got what was going on. You know, we had this huge riot, which our gang, Quill, they called the Valiant Lords, and they respectfully didn't get involved and get everybody upset. We met with them afterwards, and they were just, they couldn't get it. They couldn't get it beyond just, okay, do the obvious. These guys are taking care of it, leave them alone. But we met with the chief in that region, lieutenant or whatever, and tried to explain to them, but you know, they couldn't quite get it, but they appreciated it. That was good. So that's what we have to do. We have to have return, we have to bring light. And it's not, you know, necessarily going to church. And of course, I'm totally 100% in favor of people going to church and focusing. But it is focusing on God, and it is focusing on the connection we have with each other. And that's the key. We do have a connection, and we bring that light into each little interaction, creates a connection, and that's. That's a value. And that's what gets missed. And that's why people get so crazed, you know. And believe me, if they outlaw guns, fine, they're going to use bombs. They'll use, you know, that's worse. And knives are being used. So, or driving to a car, a crowd with a truck or something. People need to start to feel connected rather than disconnected. And I'm not getting into, you know, well, the FBI was working with these people and setting them up. I mean, that's not the point, because the fact is they could be set up. And they could be subject to my ultimate control and so forth, okay? But I'm saying something different. I'm trying to say people need to feel hope. They need to feel respected. They need to feel productive. They need to feel that connection with the divine and whatever that way works for them. And these are essential human qualities. It certainly helps if they had good nutrition. We did work on that too, because with good nutrition, your brain works right. I wrote a book called Depression Free for Life. And I showed that not using any of the drugs, that we were healing 90% of people. With a 5-point program that we use. So it can be done. And it can be done in a lot cheaper way, but we have, you know, pharmaceuticals and things like that, that they're not too hot for these kind of things. So the big message is we can do it. That's the big message that people need to hear. It is not hopeless. The sky is not the limit. We are. You know, we are transcending, but to do that, we have to be transcending. People are mostly in a trance. The media has created people in a trance, and they're doing things that we don't need to be doing. So that's kind of the overview. Richard, you're welcome to step in here. And we have a little bit of time for dialogue.
Yes. I thought that was a great overview. One of the groups that I'd like to look at, if you have some insight on it, is the network of gangs that is in government and controlling it, and how we can work with them. Because I think the street gangs are more accessible.
Well, the street gangs are a lot easier to work with. I'm not joking. I'm laughing. Street gangs are way easier to work with than
that's what I'm saying.
Who are running the government, the deep state.
You've had your preparation phase. Now the main gang that doesn't just have guns and knives, they've got media, they've got weapons of economic type, and they're in a very organized system. You know, at least where you were working, the gangs were opponents of each other, so you had some points where you could get in and help them get along and stuff like that, use that for leverage. But with the network of gangs that is not just national, it's global, we need some insights on how to help the members of that gang, because that's some serious insanity.
Well, so what's the fundamentals of that gang? It's demonic. There's a huge amount of Satanism in the ruling elite.
I think the top level members that are controlling it are not. I think the top level members that are controlling the network are actually not human. So you're looking at different levels. The vast majority of the people in the gang are bureaucrats following orders. And on the higher levels of that lower network, they know a little bit about, you know, population reduction and stuff like that, but they're not the orchestrators. Still,
no, that's the satanic forces, whether they're human or not. They're satanic forces.
Yeah,
and the eternal battle, not eternal because it will end, between the seed of Eve, Hava, in the seat of Satan, is what's going on. And so there are forces, there are off-planet forces, they're what we call, you know, humanoid forces versus human forces. All that's going on, and that's very well documented. I don't think we have a question about that. Now, but what we need to document and be aware of is there are also forces here that extraterrestrial that are clearly working for the light. And when I was down in Cordova, Argentina, I made contact with them, and they basically gave a simple message. You generate the light, we'll amplify it. We're not really allowed cosmically to go onto the planet at this point.
And just
we're going to save the planet, but you guys have to generate light, and then we'll amplify it. That's it.
Right, right. And the same thing applies. I mean, this is a big picture that they're interdimensional players, not just off planet, but off dimension. And what I'm saying is that maybe one of the more vulnerable points of this system to start with is the people who are following orders without really knowing what they're working for. And if that were to stop or slow down, it would be harder for the top level negative forces to do what they plan to do.
So, again, a simple way, because your question is very big, right? And maybe there's this group called the White Hats or the Black Hats going on, maybe. And they're gaining power. And they're here to do what we're talking about. But I don't know that for sure, but I'm just saying that. But on a person-to-person basis, with the games, but with everybody else too, is people beginning to feel their humanness again and their human connection. And somehow along the line, the people in the lower echelons can be helped out. And then I go one more step, and then I know you want to say something, I can tell there, okay? And that's it. Right now, people don't feel alive. And the only time they really start to feel alive, that's a generalization, is when they do something negative. They get a little hit. But it's not sustaining.
Right. So they have to do it again.
Yeah. So the other answer is, what is sustaining is that connection with the divine, and that takes you into another way of being. Like I call it kind of the natural way of living, that connect, you know, the connection with the divine. It's actually the real Eros, where you're having really joy in life, and we can bring people back to that, and they're not going to want to listen to the people who the Scrooges, who don't want to see anybody happy. And I think that's the level the battle needs before that.
Yeah, you're talking about the contest between drugs and consciousness.
Yeah, it's like that, because the drugs, you know, they ultimately don't work, and then you have to take more and more, and finally it still doesn't work, and it can kill you.
And it's not just physical drugs, because the power trip that you think you'll get by being in the power structure and hurting people is a drug.
Absolutely, and that's the point I'm saying is that we can offer them something better if they're open to it, which is to connect with the truth of who they are, connect with the divine.
Yeah.
That's the antidote in societal level.
You know, you said you want to keep it simple. And I think that if you want to really do that, everybody on both sides, dark and light, is trying to feel good.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just more accessible to feel good with a drug or the doing harm. You get immediate. Right.
And it's temporary. There's no fundamental underlying thing that you're building that keeps you feeling more and more good and spiritually happy.
It wears off fast.
Right. And then you get more desperate. The other way is you build and you get more and more filled with love and light and compassion, and life becomes much more fun.
Right. So
it's a better deal.
You have to be able to reach people that need it, and it has to be more than a belief.
It has to be an experience.
Exactly, because on the dark side, you can have experience right away, and then all the other gang members will support you, and you get a lot of positive feedback to keep doing it, right?
Right.
Do you agree with me that trying to reach the level of the negative gang that is mostly just people doing it for minor money and power and following orders, it's easier for the moment to reach them than the higher up bosses?
Yes.
Because it'd be hard
for the higher up you get, the more you think you're going to somehow prevail in that. That's such a seduction, because you're somehow going to get all the goodies. Everybody, you'll have nothing. Everybody will be happy. Well, who's going to have what everybody doesn't have?
Yeah, each level of bosses is told they'll be part of the elite remnant that is in charge, and they're not. They kind of forget to tell them that they're scheduled for termination.
Right.
They are. They're told that they're going to be the bosses, and they are encouraged by the equivalent of negative side miracles, you know, because the dark side really does show up in non-physical manifestation.
Absolutely. And
it's not, you know, it's a really deadly drug to fall for. but it's flashy, and it, you know, it's easy.
And that's the crisis for those folks, you know.
Right.
In the scriptural way, God is always forgiving if you actually change the way you're going.
Right.
You can't say, "Oh, please forgive me and keep doing it." No, that doesn't work.
No. And you can understand why people fall for it. It's like another version of what you were talking about with pornography or street drugs or anything like that. It's on the, at the deepest level, it's nobody's fault, but it's self-imposed punishment as long as you do it. And at some point you have to say, it might be worth some effort to break free.
Well, think about your brain shrinking. Pornography, it doesn't work so well. And I mean this literally, right? We're not talking metaphor here.
No, it's not some religious, you know, condemnation. It's saying physiologically, you need your brain. It's really useful for a lot of things.
Right.
It starts shrinking, that means you're losing parts of it.
Yeah.
Right. So
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, that first issue that you solved with the gangs that you worked with is, how do you reach them when they're addicted to what they're doing?
Addicted to?
To what they're doing already.
Well, because we had more fun. I mean, the principles, you know, I acknowledge, you know, and help them acknowledge the light of their own souls. And we had a good time.
Right.
And they were being educated while having a good time. And so there was a kind of a brother and sister growing from that, if that makes sense. So no. To do the work, you have to be there.
No. Klaus Schwab and his friends set up something called a school for global leaders.
Right.
They called it Young Global Leaders of the World.
Like, and the guy who was the lady who's head of New Zealand.
Right.
The guy.
That's a graduate.
What?
That's a graduate of
the school. It's a graduate of that school, and you can see it. It's just obvious. Right. But it's a guy. Most people don't know that, but that's well documented. It's not a lady who's the same.
Right. So what's the significance of that?
It just adds to a level of, in a sense, moral corruption, and having an act that is just a deception.
You said you were involved in psychiatry,
right,
for a long time. What is the journey away from regular two-gender ideology to saying there's an infinite number of genders, and you were assigned, you were assigned your gender at birth by some evil male, probably white doctor, who just said, oh, make her a boy or whatever. What's going on with that?
Well, in the development, this is research done at Johns Hopkins, in the development, about 88% of girls who are gender confused, let's just use that word for a moment, okay, choose to be women, 88%. But 98% of boys who are gender confused, once they make it through puberty, choose to be men. So one of the things that's happening, which is really demonic, is they're taking kids that don't know anything, literally, and they're creating a kind of gender confusion, and then doing, mutilating them or doing different things. So you put kids on hormones, it drops their IQ, among other things.
Yeah,
that's an absolute, you know, it ruins their life because you can't reverse some of the developmental. So So one of the key things is you leave people alone, and you know they're pushing hard to groom kids, but still, as kids go through puberty, eventually, they say 98% of the boys and 80% of the girls will come back to their gender of birth, which is a biological gender. So there's two biological genders. People can have all kinds of fantasies about whatever, but there's two biological genders. There's just no way of getting around that. And I mean, there are a few mutant type situations, but by and large, and it's part of the demonic move to get the kids more and more confused. And I will tell you, the rate of suicide, according to the data, is at least 5 times higher in gender-confused kids.
Yeah.
You know, teenagers who are gender-confused, the rate of suicide is at least 5 times higher. Some people say 19 times higher with depression and mental confusion. And so they're doing real harm. They're doing real overt harm.
Do you think most of the elementary school teachers that are following the policy to spread gender confusion, that most of them actually don't know that they're doing anything bad, right? Because it's the official policy.
I can't answer that because I'm limited. I'm trained and brought up in a healthy way by and large. I can't imagine a teacher grooming kids. It's such a dereliction of duty and what we call dharma. It's like, how can you do that? They're not your kids. What right do you have to do that?
Right.
And you got to be knowing it's hurting and confusing kids, and it results in higher suicide, higher mental confusion, and, of course, lower academic standards beyond belief. Okay. You know, 22 top countries, you're last in math and second to last. And
there have been some really interesting men on the street interviews, which is not just men, it's women, kids, students. And I saw one a couple of days ago where they were asking high school students really challenging questions about, like, geography. What are the 3 countries in North America? Almost none of them could get it.
Right. And I saw that interview. It's like, this is really happening.
What else did they ask him? That was a really good one.
Well, it was, who borders the United States?
Yeah, exactly. And who was the Civil War between? And
yeah.
Who was in the Revolutionary War?
So a very basic question. So
they cover that stuff in about a week of school. So since they didn't cover it in several years, it makes you wonder what they are covering.
Yeah. And it's not a good scene. That's why so many people are exiting the schools.
Right.
Those schools. I mean, they're really doing a disservice. But I have to say, it's got to be deliberate, unless these people, the teachers, just don't know, are part of the degenerate system, and they don't know.
You know, you've set up schools, training centers in different countries around the world about healing diabetes and other degenerative diseases.
Right.
Do you sometimes think about what it would be like to set up centers where teachers could break out of the trance and learn about real education?
Well,
that could be exciting.
When I lived in Central Harlem, we actually created a school health program because kids would get diagnosed with this and this. Nobody ever, a very few percentage of people ever got to where they're supposed to go. So we actually train mothers to be health advocates and in half the schools in Central Harlem. So I'm living there and people know me, okay?
Right.
Half the schools in Central Harlem, and we dramatically improved the amount of kids getting health care. So it can be done. That's my answer to you, because I've done it.
Okay.
That's half the schools in Central Highland. That's a lot of schools.
The target student there is the parents, correct?
Yeah.
That you were teaching. Okay, now what if the target is teachers?
Well, again, I think we, there are some good, sincere teachers. They're not all corrupt, but they, you know, they get in the corrupt ones get in some position of power and they're grooming kids. But there could be a training of teachers. I actually got funding from the government to do this, from the NIH, believe it or not. And you could be training teachers to take on this, you know, and get extra money
right
to begin to make this happen. What I'm trying to say is it can be done.
So I'm just looking at the example that people who happen to be on the opposing team, Klaus Schwab and people like that, the example that they showed us of their best strategy to transform the rulers of the world. And their strategy was to have a school. And one of them was called Young Global Leaders of the World.
Yeah, remember, it wasn't just a school. What it is you go to this school and you're going to be put in positions of power.
Right, and they had a lot of power to back them up in doing that.
That's right.
So we're doing it without some of the tools.
No, I mean, you can, but at this level, I mean, basically, we got parents, we trained them, we created a course to train them, and they got a salary.
Right.
You know, not a big salary, but, you know, additional income. And everybody felt good about themselves. This is important. Feeling good, not feeling evil.
This is being done at the local level in government gangs, too. Yeah. Cities. Counties are offered seminars and weekend educational events and things like that, and all kinds of perks. And they're taught how to be basically United Nations world government representatives back in the city.
Yes, I understand, but you can take the same people. You can see they're thinking they're doing a good thing.
Yeah.
Representatives, right?
It's the word united in the word in the name. It must be fantastic, right?
Right. So you can take the same people and get them to do good things.
So I'm just saying maybe at some point we'll think of how to target those people with communications that would actually get through.
There's nothing harder. I'm trying to be honest. There's nothing harder. This is not hard. With a certain amount of funding, you can train people and get them to take the positive ideas, positive idealism of uplifting humanity.
Yeah.
And have a positive image of themselves, which is definitely what these mothers in Harlem, what we did.
Right.
And it works. People really do know the difference between right and wrong. And they know if their kids are getting taken care of, that's pretty much right. I mean, look at this thing that happened in Texas. They handcuffed this mother. As soon as they took the handcuffs off, she ran and leaped over a fence. She didn't. She obviously knew what was right.
Right.
Okay?
It's really
she got to the school and rescued her kids. I mean, that was normal.
She got right in. And the official story was nobody could get in because this door was barricaded and all that stuff. She just went.
Well, she didn't get into his room, classroom. She got into other classrooms where her kids were.
Well, if it was a different classroom and it wasn't barricaded, why were they still in the school?
Because the whole thing was a setup.
Yeah.
They should have evacuated that school, no question. The cops should have gone in. Look, what? 2-3 guys got in and took care of it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So they gave him an hour and a half to kill, what, 19 kids and 2 teachers?
Apparently it was organized to convince people that outlawing firearms is real.
Yeah, I get it. They did that at Combine, too.
Right, right.
You know, and so what I'm saying is that there are good people here, and you, if money were properly used, you could turn that around just like we did in Central Home.
Right. And I suspect that there are a number of people with massive financial resources that are just either on the fence or scared to be identified as opposition. And if those could be mobilized, the playing field could be changed.
Dramatically and simply.
Yeah, quickly.
You know, I mean, we had funding, just a little bit of funding from the National Institute of Health to do this. I worked with that. I made a nice relationship with the head of the district, the public health officer. And we all work together, and people, everybody feels good about it. Wow. Is this feeling good? It's good. You want to have self-esteem. You want to feel good. You don't want to feel like you're this demonic creature who's, you know, taking these kids and screwing them up.
Yeah.
So I think that's what we're looking at. So it's easier to do good in a way, if you can make it fun and give people a little bit of money, but it's not about power now. That attracts more corrupt people. It's about, you know, making people feel good about themselves and doing good things. I mean, we know what good things are. Maybe I'm being naive. Maybe people have lost total sense of that.
You know what? Interesting to do, since you're saying that that's really not that hard to start turning things in that way, you know, at different levels. I'm assuming you could do it locally, but you could also do it on a county and state level with people that are working in various organizations, you know, that are in the gang network but don't know it, especially as high up as possible. And then to put together a structure, which maybe we can discuss in a future series of episodes, that if you had X amount of money to fund it, you know, whether it whatever it requires, you know, so many million dollars or billion dollars or whatever, if you had it, here's something you could do with it in detail, and then invite somebody to provide the missing link of the funds.
You know, we do it in Africa, we do it in South America. You know, people like to feel good,
right,
about themselves doing good things. The human God spark, I'm going to call it, actually is there. And so when we appeal to that, and they get compensated for it,
right,
something, not, oh, we're going to give you the riches and you'll have all, you know, all these corrupt things, but there is something basic here that I'm referring to, because I've seen it. I've seen it in many, many different situations.
So some of the people, that even if they're consciously serving darkness, if they were offered something better, they could change.
Because you're conscious, but you're feeling guilty.
There's always
Not everybody, but, you know, the people we're talking about, the conscious and guilty. We have programs in 5 countries in Africa. Mm-hmm. We've only had one corrupt person.
In your programs?
Yeah, only one. You know, he got removed.
Okay.
But people want to do good. We got to start with that assumption here.
Right.
You know, just the average person wants to do good. Feel good about themselves and have that, get respect of the community. People know what's going down. They know it. And, you know, I talk about Africa, but, you know, who took the least amount of vaccinations? The Africans.
Right. There's some smart people.
They had the least amount of COVID deaths. They figured it out. They understand what's going down.
Yeah. There's some less brainwashed people in some of those African countries, including people in the governments. I mean,
yeah.
We talked about Tanzania.
Yeah.
I think it was Tanzania. That
was
one of the high officials that said, wait a minute, what's wrong with this picture? I wonder if we get a positive diagnosis on a soil sample, you know, or some fruit.
So I'm hopeful. It's work, I believe, in the next year or two, soon this is going to be turned around.
We should give all the encouragement to people to initiate those things as possible.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm talking the way I'm talking.
Yeah, because they don't have to think it's impossible.
Yeah, because I know it's possible. I've done it in Africa. We did it in Mexico. We turned around with the diabetes thing. We got the same concept. There's nothing difficult. We trained people and we did this. And, you know, we started spotting diabetes and we changed the diet and everybody got better.
Yeah, changing the diet is, I mean, even if you know it in theory, seeing it change the consciousness is amazing.
Yeah, so we know it. So, you know, that's what I'm trying to say. None of this is really that hard. With trained, properly, God, you know, God-idealistic type people, not necessarily converting people to Christianity or whatever, but trained people who know there's something more than humans aren't just robots.
Right, and they're willing to do it in themselves.
Yeah.
We should talk.
So I know this can work because I've done it multiple times.
It's changeable.
Absolutely. So I want to bless everybody and you that we get that we can do this, that it is changeable, and starting from the bottom, working up, we can turn this around. So may you all be blessed with that, that with a hopeful heart, but also a certainty that we can create a healthy and wise world that protects our children in this process. Hope. Native Americans. Amen. Okay.
Wonderful. Thank you, Dr. Cousins. We'll meet you here.
Thank you.
Have a good rest tonight.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm going to bed. It's 11:17 here.
I know. Thank you for staying up late with us.
Oh, no, I enjoy it totally. Don't. It's my joy. I'm just saying it's really, we're 10 hours different.
What do you want to say, like a 10-second something about the homework for this week?
Yeah, I first that, of all,
so it's not momentary inspiration separated by a week of something.
First, people can check in on what I'm doing at treeoflife.mn.co or drcousins.com. We have programs on nutrition, spiritual nutrition on Thursdays. It's in Israel, it's 5:30 to 6:30, and then we have Alive and Liberated with Dr. Gabriel, and then from 7 to 8:30, and that's one set of things. Then we have what we're doing here, Lost Arts Radio, and then we have other programs and some of the Torah teachings. So we're constantly teaching. We have fasting retreats and what we call zero point, which is to be able to clear, and this is actually important, to clear your negative self-concepts, which is what we've been talking about the whole time, and we call the zero point. So all these things are available. Just go to the website, drcousins.com or treeoflife.mn.co. Now, what's the homework? The homework, again, keeping it simple, is how you can inspire one other person this week to want to change what they're doing enough to want to love themselves enough to heal themselves and make some improvement in their life. Okay? Some change that uplifts them and the people around them. That's the homework.
That's perfect. Time's going so fast. We're going to meet you back here in a few minutes, and it'll be next Tuesday, and we'll see how we did with the homework.
Okay, good. Blessings to everybody. Thank you for your good work, Richard.
Thank you.
I always enjoy to work with you. Very good.
It's fun. We'll see you shortly.
Okay.
Well, I don't know what to say to further support what Dr. Cousins is suggesting. I really think it's the key. Start a positive pandemic of consciousness instead of the stupid virus stuff. And I think the fear of the top level members of the gang that we talked about that's in governments and NGOs and working at the state and local level all around the world, the top bosses are afraid of you, not violence. They want violence. They think that would be great if everybody gets really upset and starts, you know, mass violence and things like that. They're going to say that's proof that they have to rule as a one world dictatorship and outlaw speech and take the tyranny that we see unfolding now and make it complete. So you don't want to do that, in my opinion. Self-defense is still essential, but we want to make the quick enough progress with the positive programs that Dr. Cousins is talking about that we don't need much in the way of forceful self-defense. So action in advance of that is much preferred, and we're working on a lot of projects behind the scenes right now that we talk about in Planetary Healing Club and also sometimes on the regular shows. I haven't been doing the Voice in the Wilderness shows much lately for a few weeks because I'm really trying to get to a certain point in a project that I'm working on so I can talk about it, and hopefully that'll be in the next few days if we're fortunate. But you don't have to wait for anybody. You know, you're not dependent on anything except spirit. Like Dr. Cousins was talking about, direct connection to God is the key to the whole thing. And that doesn't mean memorizing one religion or another. It means God is not a page of words. It's a real entity that exists, and in a way it's the only thing that exists. And connecting to that consciously is way beyond any kind of belief that you might come up with. So once that starts, then I agree with Dr. Cousins, it's not going to stop. And we're waiting and waiting for the critical spark to begin that, which could be you, or it could be a lot of us. And this is the time to do it. So, and the other point that Dr. Cousins made that's really important, take care of your physical body. Don't fall into the drug mentality, which is addicting and hypnotizing all of us right now, whether it's pornography or medical drugs or illegal drugs or power trip drugs or big ego trip drugs or any of the drugs that keep you unconscious. Be brave, you know, go beyond that and find out who you are. It's like we're in our meetings at Planetary Healing Club lately, we're looking at Ho'oponopono, and I'm probably going to talk about that some this coming Saturday at our next meeting too. That's really powerful demonstration, one of many, that focused intent and what you do silently inside yourself has an actual effect on physical reality. And it sounds impossible, it's not, and we're using it all the time, we just don't know it. So we're getting close to being able to talk about that in a much more complete manner. That's coming soon, but you don't have to wait. Learn about the clues that say who you are. Learn about how to take care of your body. Find out why about 98-99% of the current medical system is irrelevant and harmful. And it's not harmful because you just do nothing. It's harmful because it's keeping you from the option of getting in touch with nature and learning what's been known for many thousands of years about how your body has built-in healing mechanisms that can take care of almost anything that happens. And the advantage of doing that is not just so you feel better in your life, but it affects your consciousness right away. So I second what Dr. Cousins was saying and encourage you to put in the time of self-education and take care of your own health. Get off the junk. Don't eat garbage. What you eat really does make a difference. And then start doing the consciousness work at the same time. And we're going to get more into that this coming week. Our next meeting with Dr. Cousins and at planetaryhealingclub.com, where the meeting access point is. So mainly for the week, Dr. Cousins' homework was inspire one other person, which I think is a great idea. And the way you do that is not figure out some really clever thing to say, although you might do that too, but change yourself. Where are you in line with harmony with nature and with light instead of condemnation of other people? In fact, condemnation of yourself always goes to other people too, so you might as well just drop that, become aware of it and drop it, and focus on things that uplift you. Doesn't mean become unaware of what's going on in the world. You need that situational awareness, but not to get dragged down on it. And it's possible to be aware of it without having it saturate your energy. Those are what's important, and it comes into all other parts of your life. So let us know what you think. Stay in touch. There's a contact form, a communication form at lostartsradio.com. You can write to me anytime. We read all the emails, suggestions of what you'd like to see us get into. And the main message is you're really important. You're infinitely valuable. All the things that you deeply believe are impossible are just baseless ideas. They're powerful as long as you believe them, and you don't need to do that any longer than you want to. So this is the fear of our rulers, that you'll find out who you actually are and start to become that. And then the whole thing turns around, which was what Dr. Cousins was saying needs to happen. I completely agree. So thanks for being here. Check us out at lostartsradio.com. We got a ton of information there that's all free. If you want to help us stay on the air, you can donate there too. We're not doing commercials, as you may have noticed, and we don't plan to in the foreseeable future. So if you want to help us and you've got financial resources, that's great. Either at donate button like Doug has on the screen now, or Subscribestar. It's deeply appreciated. But most important is do a self-assessment. No matter what circumstances you're in, you can do better care of your body, better care of your focus, drop cynicism and negativity that's tearing you down. Give yourself total forgiveness and change. And that'll go to everybody you care about as well. So let's see what we can do with that this week, okay? Not waiting to be perfect. Just stop the self-condemnation and you'll immediately be open to appreciation of everybody else. We're all one family. We're all one being. And once that's realized, all the hell that the rulers are putting into place here starts to fade away very quickly. We can do that. So thanks for being here with us, and we'll meet you here next week. Have a good night or day wherever you are in the world. We'll see you soon.